We did yesterday the Rashi. I'm putting everyone on mute. Here we go. Here you all go. All right. Okay. Okay, so yesterday we started Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shemesh, Yareach, Omad, Zavula. Okay, Shemesh, Yareach, Omad. Let me read the Pasuk again. Let's catch up where we're up to. Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shemesh, Yareach, Omad, Zavula. The sun and the moon, they stood in Zavula. We learned yesterday two perushim. Either it means that Zavul is one of the seven heavens. Okay, there are seven heavens above us. Some people have a custom when they recite Kriya Shema and they come to the last word Echad, when they pass through the letter Ches, they think about that Hashem is on the eighth heaven. There are seven heavens, and the Shekhinah is resting above on the eighth heaven. That is called, and until you get to the eighth heaven, there are seven heavens, and each heaven has a different name. One heaven is called Shemayim, another heaven is called Shechokim, another heaven is called the Ma'alois, another one is called the Ma'oina, and there's a heaven called Zavul. So the Shemesh and the Erech, they reside in this heaven called Zavul. And Rashi learned very simply that it means that the Shemesh and the Erech, it just Omad Zvula Bim Dor Rehon in its location. That the Shemesh and the Erech, they travel due to, influenced by the light of your arrows. Lenoiga, we are pretty much repeating the word Yahalechu. They travel up against the backdrop of the Noiga Birak Chanisecha, the brilliant shine that is seen from the blade of your sword. Rashi was a little bit more midrashic. Rashi said that when the words La'orch Yitzach Yahalechu, this refers to Yisrael. It's not referring to the Shemesh and the Yareach. It's referring to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they conquered the land. Kishayardu el ho amorim avonim gedolos min hashamayim yahalechu. The Jewish people traveled, were able to travel safely, had safe passage in the land and in the desert when Hashem shot down upon our enemies, in this case specifically the nation of Amori, these boulders, borot. Avonim gedolos min hashamayim, which we learned yesterday, according to the Medrash, refers to Borot. Now we did was the Mitsudois and Rashi. We did not even go into the Radak. So let's now take a look at the Radak. Put up on the screen immediately the Radak. Share, photo, gallery. Okay, here it is. Shalom Aleichem. Giving you a share now. Okay, we'll talk later, okay? Okay, let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak over here is Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Shemesh Yoreach b'molchemes Yehoshua im hamolachim sha'amad lochem ha'shemesh. Okay, this is the famous pasuk of Doim Shemesh b'givoin Doim in the Molcham of Yehoshua with the kings, the 31 kings of Canaan. Amad lochem ha'shemesh. The Shemesh stood still. V'chein ha'yoreach ad yikoim goy oivav until HaKadosh Baruch Hu took revenge from the nations. Zivula. Bashamayim shehem zvul umo'on lohem. Like Rashi quoted the Targum in its abode. Kemosh Omar vayamod hashemesh bachatzi hashamayim. The sun stood still in the middle of heaven. Zivulo hei noisefes Kehei Laila. Ki Hamila Mila El. The Mila is Mila El, meaning that he's saying that the emphasis is on the beginning of the word Zivula. It's not Zivula, it's Zivula. And he's saying here something very interesting. Zivul. Okay, this is a bit of grammar, which I find to be, I hope you enjoy, you appreciate this type of stuff, but the general rule in the Hebrew language is very unique. Most languages in the world, when you say a word, the emphasis is on the first syllable. In English, it's not English, it's English. In most languages, we follow the pattern where the emphasis is on the first syllable. In Yiddish, there is no such thing. Every single word in Yiddish, I know nothing about Yiddish, but this is what I've been told. Every single word in Yiddish, the emphasis is on the first syllable. If you will find a situation where you're not putting the emphasis on the first syllable, that's because the first syllable is a prefix. It's not the root of the word. It's always on the first.
By the way, the two words here are Mele'el. Amad Zivulo.
Amad, both words are Zivulo. Very good, both words.
Then Atsog Achor, they call it.
Oh, so Amad.
Amad Zivulo.
Amad is Nesog Achor. Because Zivulo is the defining word. Right. Amad has to shift, has to bend before the word Zivulo. But before we get to the Nesog Achor, let's first just explain this, the very interesting principle. The word in Hebrew, we have to just appreciate, in Hebrew, it's very confusing because Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, is unique, at least amongst most of the languages which we are familiar with, in that the standard, the default, is to emphasize the last syllable of the word. Again, not like most other languages that we are familiar with, English, Yiddish, where there the rule of thumb is, the default is to emphasize the first syllable. Now, if that's the case, if we have the word here, zivula, how many syllables are there? Zivula. This word has three syllables. Where would you then put the syllable, the emphasis on the lamed? If it's zivula, you would expect that the trop, the tameh hamikra, should go underneath the lamed, zivula. Yet in our text, that's not where the tameh hamikra. The tam is under the vase. Over here, the Radak tells us a very powerful rule, a very, very important insight. The hey of this letter doesn't belong here. The real word, and Rashi complimented this, the real word is zivul, which means what's the real word? The real word is zivul. There are only two syllables, zivul. The vays and the lamed together make up the last syllable. The lamed should be like a shvonach, zivul. And then the emphasis would be on the last syllable, which be on the vays lamed. But what has happened over here? We have appended a hey. The hey is not part of the word. The hey was only put here because we want to really connote the word, the English word, to, as Rashi said, that kol teva shetzricha lamed bitchilasa heite lo hei b'soifa uperushoi al mulchemes given kitagumoi b'shemesh yorech omad. It's like lizvul. It was put. I'm not clear exactly what it means towards. It stood. What it means according to Rashi, it stood towards the area of zvul. It was supposed to go further, but it went, Omad seems to indicate that it turned towards, the Lamed connotes towards Zivul. Now, when you want to connote towards, you could either have a Lamed in the beginning of the word, or you can have a Hey at the end of the word. For whatever reason, in this Pasuk, this choice was made to put the hey at the end of the word instead of a lamed in the beginning of the word. Now, if you put a hey at the end of the word, that forces us to change the vowel of the lamed from being zvul, which would have no vowel, to a komatz zvula. And then you would suggest, well, if the word now has been transformed into zivula, and the last syllable is lamed hey, that's where we should put the emphasis. Along comes the Radak, and he teaches us a very important rule. If the ikur word, the ikur shoresh, is without the hey, and the only reason why the hey is being appended is because we want to have a prefix or a suffix, we want to just transform the word a little bit to give a little more meaning to the word, or to modify the word, at least like the verb element of the word, then the hey doesn't count. It does not take away from where the emphasis should really be. So therefore, since the real word is zivul, even though here we're having a komat which makes an additional syllable, who cares? The ta'ame ha-mikra will go where it really belongs on the days. Zivula.
Mitzrayim.
That's what I was saying, Mitzrayim. Limitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Right. Limitzrayim. So you don't go put it on the resh. So it's going to be zivula. Now Rav Kalman comes along, and Rav Kalman teaches us, if this is what we're going to do, we're going to put the emphasis on the base, zivula, then the word omad, we cannot, what's up with that? Omad has how many syllables? Two syllables. Omad. So where should the tameh hamikra appear? Underneath the mem dalet, the last syllable. But there's another rule in grammar, and that is we don't like when two syllables are emphasized too close to each other. We want to spread the wealth. We want to spread the wealth. So since here the ikar word is zivula, it would be uncomfortable for us to say omad zivula, because we're putting the emphasis on the mad, omad, too close to the base. Zivula, even though the base is not, there is a break of a zayin in between the memdalid and the base, it's still too close for comfort. And therefore, what we do is we take the ta'ame hamikra on the mem, where it would be, and we push it back further to the ayin. And that's why it's omad zivula. Okay, that's the grammar lesson for today. Let's go further.
Except if it's a tamma mafsik, because the truck makes
okay.
The rule.
Right, right, the there, right. Exactly, correct.
Grandma is the truck.
Correct. There are exceptions.
This is not a tamma mafsik.
Exactly. This is the typical. Right. Right, right. There are, of course, many exceptions. Like, this is just one isolated slice of grammar. But of course, you're right. There are other examples. All right, very good. Like ata giba liyala amashu mechay meisim. Is it ata or is it ato rav lehoshia? Mechayei meisim. What do you say in davening? Mechayei meisim ata or mechayei meisim ata rav lehoshia? If you take, you say ata. Ata rav lehoshia. So why would you do ata? Because nesagachar. Because you can't have the word ata too close to the word rav. But that's only if you say that the word ato is not a mafsik. But Rabbi Mayevsky is saying, but let's say you put a dot in the sidur after the word ato, mechayei meisim ato. The sentence is over. Now when we go to the next two words, rav lehoshia, that's a new sentence. Then it would not be a violation of nesog ochor. And if you take out the sidurim, I think it's 50-50. I once took out a lot of sidurim that put the lines and bring out this point. 50% of the sidurim write mechayei meisim ato, and the other 50% seem to indicate mechayei meisim ato rav lehoshia. Is the word ato connected to the words rav lehoshia mechayei meisim ato rav lehoshia? Is it one big sentence? Or no, it's two separate sentences. The nafka mina is, where will you put the mesek? Where will you say ata or ata? Now the problem though is, I found a siddur, I think it's the article siddur, in fact. They have a period, it's a contradiction. Mechayei meisim, and after the letters aleph, tof, hey, there's a period. They put a period. So if you put a period, What would you expect? You'd expect it should say Mechaye Meisim Ata. But it doesn't. It says Mechaye Meisim Ata. Doesn't make sense. If you're putting a period, then it should be Ata. Unless you'll tell me that there's another rule, which I think that's the answer. There's another rule that even if you put a period, it's the end of the sentence, but an end of a sentence sometimes is milara on certain types of words. All right, enough for today. Let's go further. La'ar chitzecho, back in the radak, la'ar chitzech yalechu, we're in the radak over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top. La'ar chitzech yalechu, what does this mean? Yisrael halchu laila, Yisrael, the Jewish people, halchu balaila, they travel the night, in the parentheses it says, umitzrayim reit machareim la'ar habarakim, va'avne habarad, and the Egyptians were chasing after them, and the light of the lightning and the stones of Barad, Shehishlach Hashem b'nusam b'bnei b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so Hashem, this is, I told you yesterday the Medrash, that the Pasuk is referring to Yehoshua. Rashi here, the Radak here, seems to understand that we are discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in Mitzias Mitzrayim, the Egypt, well, not necessarily because it's in parentheses. Okay, let's just read this over here. He's going to go say the Barad in a few moments. Shehishlech Hashem b'nusam b'bnei b'nei Yisrael b'v'abarakim b'heim achitzi Hashem yisparach v'chanisai v'ha'ivim nikfu bohem v'yisrael holchu le'oiram. Okay, so his thing over here is that the same tool that Hashem used to provide illumination for the Jewish people was the same tool which provided punishment, which was the source of punishment and suffering for our enemies. The light, the lightning, which gave us light, was striking our enemies behind us. Now the af al pi shlo hisker the pasuk birakim, even though in this pasuk there is no mention of lightning, kevan shehisker avne habarad, since it does mention the stone, the hailstones, harehu ki ilu hisker birakim ki lo yiplu avne habarad beloy lapidim uvarakim, because the two are intertwined, it is impossible for there to be barad without lightning and thunder. Gam avne habarad levanim mafikim v'noisnim oira balayla. And now the Radak says something else is very interesting, is that even the barad itself provided illumination. Uvayoyim uvalayla hoysa mochama shareh hispal Yoshua yireach. And that's why in before above it was put in parentheses the word Mitzrayim, because the coin to the
By the way, makata barad, it says ve'esh mitlakachat
b'soich habarad.
There was fire inside, in the barad.
So that's why it makes sense over here, is that's why there was illumination. The same hailstones that were destroying the Egyptians, the light of those hailstones, or the same hailstones that were destroying the Amorim, when Yoshua was battling them, those same hailstones were providing illumination because they had light. Gam Kane and Yikim Goiva Ivav until they were destroyed. What was the nace? That the moon provided light together with Barad. Okay, I don't know where he's getting that from. He's saying over here, okay, the Shemesh and the Arech Omad. Okay, it seems that what he's saying over here is something very, very deep. The fact that the Pasuk puts together the Shemesh and the Yareach. The sun stopped, but the Yareach still dominated because the nighttime is the domain of the moon. And at night, the moon provides light. Okay, it doesn't provide light that is equivalent to the sun, but in the middle of the month is a lot of light at night. If you go out into the country in a place where there are no electrical lights, the 15th day of the month on a clear night, there's quite a bit of illumination. The moon reflects the light of the sun. So now the only time the moon reflects light of the sun is at night. But in the middle of the day, when the sun is shining brightly, it's impossible to see the moon. You only can see the moon sometimes in the very beginning of the day and the very end of the day. when the sun already is on the horizon, the sun already is setting. But in the middle of the day, it is impossible to see the moon. Here, the Pasuk is telling us something incredible according to the Radak's understanding, is that on this fateful day, when Yeshua is mispalel, Shemesh begivon doim, it's not fair. The moon says to Hashem, the night is my domain. The evening is when I have an opportunity to cast, to reflect the light of the sun, and I am the dominant luminary in this world. How can you allow the sun to remain in the sky at the time when it's my Zman? So Hashem said to the moon, you are correct. What we will do is both of you will provide illumination. What do you mean both of you will provide illumination? If the sun is shining, then the moon cannot even be seen. There is no illumination that comes from the moon. That's what the Radak is medayik here in this pasuk, Shemesh Yoreach Omad, that Hashem performed a nes b'soich nes. The moon during the night also provided illumination, during this time also provided illumination together with the sun, which is impossible. But that's exactly the point. The sun miraculously froze. It did not go away when the Zman of Laila arrived. And the Laila, the moon, dominated at night by providing illumination together with the sun. Now that takes us back to Maaseh Bereishis. What happened by Maaseh Bereishis? We learned that there was Shnei HaMa'oris HaGadolim. There was the Ma'or HaGadol L'memshelesh Bayamu Ma'or Shnei HaMa'oris HaGadolim. Before Hashem told the moon to be mimayit, l'chi mematias atzmech, the simple understanding is the shnei hameoirois hagidoilim. The moon was a source of its own light. The shemesh provided light, and the moon provided its own independent. It didn't just reflect the light of the sun. It provided its own light. If that is true, we got a problem. The moon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein shnei melochim b'sham shem b'keser echad. So Hashem said to the moon, you are correct. You know what? L'chi memati es atzmech, which according to one interpretation means, Hashem said to the moon, you're out. You will no longer be a source, an independent source of light. Your tafkid will now be nothing more than to reflect the light of the sun. That is the Hashem's response to the Levan. Until now, you had an independent source of light, and you were competing with the sun. But being that you complained, Ein shnei melochim b'sham shem b'keser echad, so one of you has to leave, you, the moon, will depart entirely. You will no longer provide your own source of illumination. And the most you will do is, in fact, be humiliated. Think about it. It's very good humiliation to the moon. Not only is the moon no longer going to be a source of its own illumination, it's going to be a shamash. It's going to reflect the light of the sun. I'll give you a mashal. Mashal l'maha d'ovedoymer. You have, I'll tell you many, many examples. In the secular world, there are people who work very hard to become partner in a law firm. This is the way, everyone knows the way it's set up. What happens if you work in a law firm for I don't know, whatever the amount of years you need to work this, whatever the convention is, you work there for 7-8 years, and they pass you over for partner. You're up for partner, you've been working as an associate for 7 years, and now is the time when the firm should vote, should come together and agree to make you a partner in the firm, which entitles you to a much higher salary and benefits and ownership in the firm. And the other partners take a vote and they decide, you're just not cut out for this, or we don't like you, or we're selfish, we don't want to give up the profits. And you know what? We are not going to make you a partner. So what does this fellow do? Okay, you don't want to make me a partner, so I'm going to stay on. Until now, you were paying me a nice salary as an associate. I'll stay on. That's not the way it works. The way it works, by and large, not in every situation, is if a person is passed up for partner, he leaves. If I am in a position where I'm eligible, I am deserving to be an equal to you, my colleagues, and you're not going to treat me as an equal, I'm not going to sit around here and be your servant and be a subordinate to you. I deserve to be an equal. If you're not going to make me an equal, I am leaving. And that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes in this world. If you have any yeshiva personalities that are very powerful, and it comes a point in time where a decision has to be made who will be the Rosh HaYeshiva. And the loser, the one who is not going to be the boss, it's not common that they will stay on. Because if they remain in their position, that means they have to be a tofel, they have to be a servant, a subordinate to the master. And when the subordinate is truly eligible and deserving to be the master, to be in charge, it's a very uncomfortable situation to continue to serve as an underling, to serve as, to be placed second fiddle when you should be front and center. So look what happened to the moon. The moon was severely humiliated. In the beginning of creation, the Pasuk says, Hashem created the Shnei HaMa'orais HaGedolim, the two major, the two great luminaries, the sun and the moon. What does that mean? According to some commentators, this means that just like the sun, we know, we see today, it is the source of its own aura, the moon was also an equal. It was the source of its own light. And who knows what kind of light it provided? Who knows? Maybe the light that was given forth from the moon was a different type of light, a different quality light. Maybe with that light, we would be able to see things that we can't see today. Today, you cannot see in the dark. We need light to see, but we are limited in what we could see. Perhaps there is such a light in this world that if we had access to, would enable us to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Perhaps we can see what people are thinking in their mind. Perhaps we can see what's taking place underground. We can see what's taking place in Shamayim. Perhaps there is a different form of light which enables man to see and to function very differently than what we have today. And I believe that must have definitely been the case, because in the beginning of creation, just like we have the light of the Shemesh, which enables us to do amazing things, man needs to come on to the Shemesh. Man is not an independent creature. Man is subject to the good will and grace of the sun. If the sun shuts down, man is living in the dark. Man needs the sun. Just like man needs the sun, man really needs the moon. But you know what happened? Because the moon originally provided its own unique form of light, which man gave man the ability to use and to benefit from in a way that is unknown to us. And the moon betrayed us. How did it betray us? It made a fatal mistake by complaining to Hashem, Ein shnei melochim meshamshim bekeser echad. It cannot be that both of us are equals and dominate this world by providing, each one of us providing our own unique light. Hashem said to the moon, you know, you got a good point, but because you're the one who complained, you will have to suffer. Your punishment is double. And the second punishment is even worse than the first. The first punishment is you will no longer have your own source of light. It will be completely taken away from you. You will be a rock, nothing, no source of illumination. That's punishment number one. Punishment number two, you're going to have to be a servant to the Shemesh. not only are you not going to have an opportunity to reflect your own unique light, which would enable man to accomplish and do amazing things, you're going to be around to do nothing more than to remind man of the light of the Shemesh when the Shemesh goes on vacation every day for 12 hours. When the Shemesh goes on vacation, you're going to stick around and you're going to reflect the light of the Shemesh to remind man, guess what? There's only one light in this world, the light of the Shemesh. That's a very humiliating dosage of punishment that Hashem handed down to the Levana for its complaint. But Chazal say that le'osilavo, the day will come when the light of the moon will be restored. When in history, in world history, was there a moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to taste what it was at the time of Bais HaBereishis and what will be in the times of the end of days when the light of the moon will one day be restored? It was when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, when the world reached its tafkid. The first Rashi in Chumash, why bother mentioning creation? You know why you need to know creation? Koyach Mas Higiliamo, because when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, then Maase Bereishis was restored to its pristine element. And what was the most pristine element of Maase Bereishis? When the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim operated together. The Shemesh provided its unique illumination and the moon provided its unique illumination. When Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, what does it say? Radak just told us this whole Yisoid, Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zvula. It was a nes b'soich nes. Not only did the Shemesh not leave the stage, the Shemesh remained on. The Yoreach remained at that moment, was together with the Shemesh, and also provided illumination. What do you mean? If the Shemesh is providing illumination, then the Yoreach is not necessary, because the Yoreach is only here to reflect the Shemesh when the Shemesh leaves. It must be that at this moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yoreach, you know what? Now I am restoring to you your original illumination that you had at the time of Maase Bereishis, of being the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. And at that moment in time when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they were given a koyach of light, a double light. And just like we know that with light, with the Shemesh, what is the Shemesh? Energy. The Shemesh provides, it fuels this world with energy. Shemesh provides illumination, allows man to see. Can you begin to imagine what it's like in this world if there's another type of light, another form of energy, another form of vision, and not just another, when the two of them work together, the synergy, the synthesis of these two lights coming together, can we even begin to fathom what kind of experience this must have been? And this was an experience that Klal Yisrael enjoyed at the moment of Shlemus, at the moment when the world achieved its purpose, the moment of Bereishis, Boro Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz, at the moment when Koyach Masav Higid La'amo, where Hashem now has given Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, after they have been prepped, after they have been refined in the Kor HaBarzel, and have received the Torah, and now are coming to take possession of the chosen land, to inject it with sanctity, and to live a life of holiness here, to achieve the purpose of creation. It is now, precisely at this moment, the moon, the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim, have been reinstated. Shemesh, together with Yoreach, Omad Zavula, they stand in the heaven. That's really what the Radak is saying in these just these few little words. These few little words on the end of the line are very innocent, but that's this whole drasha is all rooted in those words of vihine, vihine, behold, hoyones besoichnes, sheheir hayoreach balaila, im, together with, sheheir hayoreach balaila, the oreach, im habarad, he's with the barad. But okay, I'm maybe expanding it a little bit more, because the barad, the hailstones came down at the time of when the sun was standing still as well. And in this pasuk, okay, it could be I'm expanding a bit on the radak, but I am very confident that what we're saying is correct, because the pasuk puts the two together. The shemesh definitely stood still. The yireach here is mentioned. The radak is telling us that the yireach is providing illumination. Im habarad, together with the barad, the hailstones, which has in it a fire, and the fire of the barad is the fire of the shemesh, because that's what fire really is, just a derivative of the shemesh. That concludes Radak. Now let's take a look at the yes.
I need to check one second.
Of course.
In the Hakosei Vadaf Chof and Tainis, it mentions about when it gets all the shemesh begivon dome and all the other cases where seemingly the sun stood still. Said, of course, that's impossible, that the earth can't do that for 1 hour, or else the whole world would implode. So with artificial light, God made it appear light. In other words, the light from the sun was reflected. This is the Mefarshim, Adaf Chof and Tainis. So when it talks about the Nakdim on Ben-Gurion, and then mentions Yehoshua, it says it's not possible. So to go with the flow, not to get off the topic, but nevertheless, so God made an artificial light to appear it, the reflection, or however he did it, but it couldn't be possible.
Okay.
That's too much of an ace. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's take the Malbum. The Malbum Shemesh Yirich Amar Gvula Mitzar Oid Shemuchamah Zosha Yilochim Im Oive Yisrael La'asa Lava B'yom Karav Yamdu HaShemesh Vayirich Bezvulam Kamo Sha'amdu Mil Yoshua. According to the Malbum, the Malbum is Lishita Asoy that we're describing over here, the Milchama that's going to take place in time of Mashiach. Milchemes Goig U'Magog. And it's telling us that in time of Goig U'Magog, the miracles of the past are going to repeat, are going to be repeated. Okay, the whatever happened in the past, and one of the miracles of the past was the Shemesh stood stood still, that will happen again. Shayamdu Shemesh Yerech B'Vizvulam Kama Shemdu B'Me Yeshua V'Shagam Oz Yiplu Anshe El Gavish. And at that time as well, hailstones will descend from Shemayim Kama Shenaflu Al HaKananim. Shal Ze Amar Lo'or Chitzecha Yehalechu. It says in the pasuk, the Or Chitzecha Yehalechu, Shehashem Yishlach Chitza V'Yafitzeim. Hashem will send his arrows and disperse them. Uverakim V'Humeim, lightning, and will terrify them. U'mitzayer Shema Sheyamdu HaShemesh V'Hayirech Lo Yiyeh Kidei Sheyelchu Lo'oram. The reason why Hashem will put in Shemaim the Shemesh and the Yorech, it's not because we need the light, the illumination. In the future, we will travel by the light of Hashem's arrows. He's saying something very mystical. This thing over here is that the time of Yeshua, when the sun stood still, it stood still for a reason, in order to provide us with illumination at the time of night. But when Mashiach will come, Milchemes Gog U'Magog and Yimos HaMashiach, then the Shemesh and the Areach will be retired. I have no idea what this means. It will be retired. They'll be sent to an assisted living home where someone will bring them every day lunch and supper and breakfast, and will provide entertainment, and the girls' school will send some girls to talk and chat with the Shemesh to keep it busy. But what will be providing the world with illumination? It will be a spiritual illumination. It will not be a physical illumination. How do you know that? Because here it says, this is how the Malbim is interpreting the pasuk. He's interpreting the pasuk, it's unbelievable. The Malbim says really fits into the pasuk like a glove. When Mashiach will come, Shemesh, Yoreach, Omad, Zavula, which means they will be retired. the sun and the moon will stand in Zavula. They will no longer be mahalchim. They will no longer go out and move in motion. They will just rest in Zavula. Zavula is the name of the nursing home that the Shemesh and the Areach will be retired to. The government is covered, they take all the insurances, and that's where they're going to go. They're going to Shemesh, Yireach, Omad, Zavula. They will be positioned in Zavula. What do you mean? But what's then going to be with the world? The world needs light, photosynthesis. How are the plants going to grow? What's going to be? No problem. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a new light that's waiting to be unleashed. L'or chitzecho yahalechu. The times of Yemos HaMashiach, Hashem will reveal a light that comes from his arrows. L'noiga berak chanisecho. The world will function through the energy that is provided by the brilliance of the light that reflects off the edge of Hashem's sword. Okay, so this pasuk is describing retirement and the baby boomers' takeover of the world, or Generation X, I don't know, whatever, the next generation is describing the sun and the moon being retired and the next generation and a newcomer, the Orchitzecha and the Noiga Brach HaNisecha, they will provide the new illumination that will energize the world going forward in the times of Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach. That's what it says in the Malbim. I can't make this stuff up. This is what it says here, okay? This is heavy-duty stuff. Let's now take a look over here at the Likutei Shas. The Likutei Shas. Here we go. We put up on the screen the Likutei Shas. We're trying to win the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest shearer, Zoom shearer, who can move their fingers so fast you can put up on the screen Chidushim, win an award, and you go into the Guinness Book of World Records for being the fastest Zoom share poster. Here we go. It says here at the bottom, Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zivula L'or Chitzecha Yehalechu Dorash Rabba V'amrila Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Mandach Siv Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zivula Shemesh V'yoreach Bezvul Mai Bo Ayon. What are they doing there? V'ha Berokia Kivie. Okay, I alluded to this when we started. What did I allude to? They're in the wrong, they got off on the wrong floor. In Shemayim, there is an elevator. There are seven buttons in the elevator. Okay, there's this button number one takes you to the Shemayim. Button number two takes you to the Rakia. Button number three takes you to the Shechokim. Button number four takes you to the Milos. Button number five takes you to the Ma'on. Okay, button number six takes you to Zavula. Okay, I'm just making that up. All I'm saying is that in Shemayim, we do know as a fact that there are seven Maduros. Just like down below, I believe that there's a parallel. Everything in this world, everything, has parallels. Always, you always find this principle. Just like Chazal tell us there are seven Maduros of Gehenim, there are seven Maduros in Shemayim. Take the elevator down, there are seven buttons. There's sub one, sub two, sub three, sub four, sub five, go all the way down. Chazal say, you can't say one is worse than the next. They're all different. They're all unique. And the reason why there are seven different levels downstairs is because we don't want anyone to get too comfortable with one Madura. Why do you think we have elections every 4 years and every 2 years? Because we want to suffer. We want to suffer. We don't. If you get used to a rotten politician, when you replace him, It's a different type of rottenness. Gehenim, it's not good to get used to any type of Gehenim. The people in Gehenim, it says in Chazal, they were constantly shuffled from one Madur to the next. That's all part of the torture, not to get used to suffering. So Chazal tell us, make it very clear, we have no idea what this means. No one came back to tell us. There are seven Maduros of Gehenim. We have a principle. Ze l'uma ze boro Elokim. They're always parallels. If there are seven Maduros of Gehenim, it has to be there are seven Maduros of Shomayim. And each Madura in Shomayim is a unique experience of spiritual bliss. And in each Madura, there are different luminaries and who knows what. And this Maim Chazal, I have no idea what it means, but if you read between the lines, what it does seem to be saying is that the Shemesh and the Erech do not belong in the Madura called Zevul. Zevul is not their native home. So the question thus is, in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Chavakuk, why does the Pasuk say that the Shemesh, Yereach, Omad, Zevula, are you lost? Did you get lost? You got off on the wrong floor in the elevator. Shemesh v'yareach bizvul mai bo'ayon. What are you doing here? V'ha barakia kivyeh. You belong on a different floor. Melameh sh'alu shemesh v'yareach merakia lizvul. It went up to a higher level. Kishachola korach al Moshe. Okay, coming up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, in 3 weeks, come parashas korach. When Korach challenged the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, it went up. The Amru Lufan Ribbono Shel Olam, Im Ato Isedin Leven Amram, Manish Esadas Korach Anu Meirin. If you, Hashem, if you take revenge, if you exact justice on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, we will continue to function. We will go back where we came from. Bimlam. If not, Ein Anu Meirin. If not, we can no longer tolerate this. We retire. We are leaving. We quit. We quit, we have left Rokia, and we're now going to hide out in protest in an autonomous territory with fences that we've stolen from the government and hide out in this section. Ein anu meirin, ba'ois asho yora bohen achitzim v'chan nisois. At that moment, Hashem said to the Shemesh and the Ireach, Hashem sent tear gas. Hashem sent out the troops. They called in the National Guard and said, get out of here. Don't you dare set up shop in a place that you don't belong. Go back where you belong. They sent arrows and spears. Omar lohem, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim mishtachavim lohem. Every single day, the people of this world, they bow down to you, they worship you. Did you ever make a macha? Did you ever come to me and say, Hashem, you know, we're not going to continue to function until you put an end to these idolaters who bow down and worship us? Never, never happened. All of a sudden today, Moshe Rabbeinu, you became religious. All of a sudden, when you see that they're rebuilding, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, now you're making a macha. For my honor, it was not important enough. Now, for the honor of Basar Vadam, now all of a sudden you become self-righteous. You don't complain. Therefore, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu has to shoot at them arrows. So this is the story. That's why, that's the pshat in this pasuk according to the Chazal. Incredible. Shemesh Yareach Omad Zavula. The pasuk is discussing the mice of Korach. The Shemesh Yireach came to defend Moshe Rabbeinu by going to Shamayim, going to a higher chamber, Zevula, and to say, we quit until you squash this rebellion. Hashem said, until now, where have you been? When they were mevazeh me, where have you been? You didn't care. You kept on functioning. They were bowing down to you. By bowing down to you, it was an insult to me. Now, when they're bowing down to Korach and not Moshe, you're so concerned. Get back to your job. I'll shoot. I will throw upon you tear gas. I will shoot you with an arrow and threaten you with a spear. Lo'or chitzecha yehalechu, they were dismissed. In this context, the word yehalechu means they were dismissed from that location. Lo'or chitzecha yehalechu l'noiga berak chanisecha. And due to the brilliance of the blade of the spear, they were dismissed and returned back from where they came from. Fascinating. Next, Mar Chazal, Lenoiga Brak Chanisach. What does this allude to? Mitzriim bo aleim b'chanis af Hakadosh Baruch Hu bo aleim b'chanis shenemar Lenoiga Brak Chanisach. Okay, this really goes back to the Chazal we had yesterday, 2 days ago, where there's a beautiful medrash. We only read the first two lines. Rav Michal filled me in on the rest of the medrash, and that is that we find the Ribbono Shel Olam appearing throughout Tanakh with every type of weapon. Every nation has a specialty. Every mercenary specializes in a different type of war. Some are experts in fighting on the seas. Some are experts fighting in the air. Some are experts fighting in outer space. Some have mastered the cyber world, the web, the internet. They can launch attacks on the internet infrastructure of society. Some are the good old days. They know how to operate on the battlefield, out in the open. Some people only know how to do well in guerrilla warfare. Everyone has a specialty, and every specialty has a unique weapon. And the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout Tanakh appears here and there. You study Tanakh, and you know enough, you'll be able to see that the Ribbono Shel Olam has mastered every weapon. He is the top soldier in the Army, Marines, Air Force, and Navy, plus the new division of the Army, the cyber division of the Army. Hashem, He mastered them all. He is the top soldier in each division. And when Hashem comes to fight, He comes with His unique weapons. Now,
not to mention the Space Force.
The Space Force. I thought that's another force. That's number six.
Getting too, in that realm as well.
Too confusing. Too many forces. Okay, let's look at now. We'll wind down with one last thing before we wind down this pasuk. Let's take a look over here at the Gra, the Biurei Hagra. Okay, the Biurei Hagra, and then we'll stop with that. Let me put it on the screen.
Remember, it says that Hashem had the stars fighting for us?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
So, what is that, Star Wars?
I guess so. Whatever that is. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zvula. Haynu Yoshua Shehemin Es HaShemesh Ve'erech V'hanukva Nichleles B'duchra. The female is included in the male. What does that mean, the female over here? Because it says the word zivula. What he's saying over here is as follows. He's saying over
Just
here,
her?
What? He's asking a question. He's asking a very interesting question. He's asking over here is that the word zivula, see, we spent time on this morning, the Rashi. When you learn, every time you learn a Mefarish, it totally changes your appreciation of the other Mefarish. Like those who learn together at night, Unkelus, we've come to discover that every word of Rashi, when you're in Yeshiva Katana, you know, you're in first grade or second or third grade, they teach you Chumash and Rashi. So what do you learn about Rashi? Rashi tells you, Rashi was a nice malakate. He was a malakate. He took a medrash here. His Rebbe told him, this is the pshat. He tells you from his Rebbe. He finds a medrash. He finds a piece of Gemara. And every once in a while, Rashi tells you his own interpretation of the pasuk. Right, Rashi, he was a malakate from the Rebbe, the Medrash, the Gemara, his own ideas. No, the more you learn Rashi, the more you discover that Rashi is a responder. Rashi is a first responder Who's he responding to? The Targum. Every word of Rashi is an attack on Targum Unkelus. Unkelus, you're telling me that this is the Pshat. No, 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 no. I disagree. That's the more you learn Rashi and Unkelus, you see clear that there's this very delicate struggle between them in dominating the Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi is not operating in a vacuum. He's not, the Targum, Kit Targuma. He's not just, operating in a vacuum and he's polite. Rashi is a soldier and he's fighting a battle. Enemy number one is Unkelus. Enemy number two is everyone else. So here, right here, and the same way that's true for Rashi and Unkelus, that's true for almost every Mefarish. We learned all this time, Zivula. Why is it Zivula, not Zivula? Why is there a hey? Why isn't there a lamed? So everyone is busy. Oh, the real word is Zivul. And really it should be a lamed, Lizvul. But sometimes instead of putting a lamed in the beginning, we put a hey at the end and it's all the same. But no, it's not the pshat. Because according to that interpretation, the word Zavul is Lashon Zohar. And in fact, it makes a lot of sense because Shemesh and Yoreach are also Zohar. These are nouns, gender form Zohar. The Gra says, sorry with you fellows, I disagree. Don't tell me this Pshat with a Lamed and a Hey and Mila'el, Mila'ra. It's a feminine word. The hey is part of the primary word. And the male, it's a nikeva. And I'm willing to, now you have a real problem, according to the Gra, maybe in his opinion, it should really be zivulah, with a milara, not milael. I don't know if it goes so far. But the Gra says, we have a problem. If I'm going to tell you now that the word zivulah, it's in feminine, so we have a contradiction, because shemesh, yoreach, or zohar. How can you mix and match the genders? You get an F for this. You can't go mix and match the genders in one sentence. So Rashi and the Radak avoided this difficulty by making it very clear that no. The word Zavul ends with a Lamed, is Lashon Zohar, and the Hey is not, which is usually associated with Nikeva, feminine form, is not here to indicate that the word is a feminine word. It's in place of a lamed in the beginning of the word. So really it's Lashon Zohar, and that's why it's Milara, not Milael, and the hey at the end is really equivalent to a lamed. The Gra says, no, I don't accept that. I disagree. The word is Zivulah with a hey at the end. It's a feminine word. If it's a feminine word, we got a problem because the word Shemesh, Yoreach are masculine. So he says, what's the problem? A woman can give birth to a boy. A woman can give birth to twins. The Zivulah is the home, it is the rechem, it is the womb of the two twins. Yaakov and Esav are males, but they were born from Rivka, who was a female. So it's the same thing. Zivulah is the feminine word, it's the abode of heaven, and it's a feminine word, and it can produce the Shemesh and the Yoreach, which are male children. Hainu Yoshua Shemesh, Hainu Yoshua, we're referring to Yoshua Shemesh, Yoreach, Vehanukva, Nichleles Bedochra. The female is included in the male. What do we mean? He explains, V'amar Zivulah, Ki Habayis, Vehamokoim, Nikru Al Shem Hanukva, Ki Hi Akeres Habayis. The Zivulah is the home. The home is the Ikeres Habayis. So the Shemesh and the Yoreach are the Bonim. They're living in her bayis. L'orch yitzech yalechu haynu avnei barot sh'aish mislakachas b'shecho meil yishol v'yishol hochem l'achrei avnei barot. This was the avnei barot, which we discussed yesterday at great length. V'makam sh'yadu ha'avonim ha'yu yodim b'veir sh'asham ha'ivim v'vo yishol v'haragum. It was a laser-guided missile. According to the Gra says that the Barad was used as a identification mark of where the enemy is hiding. if you see borrowed land in this location, you calibrate the tank to shoot a missile at exactly that location. L'noiga bracha nisach ha'inu malach ha'olech. What is the noiga? So here is something very interesting. Is the radiance of the blade is a code word for a malach. Ha'inu malach ha'olech ofnei machane Yisrael ha'yubiyodah chanis. Had a spear. V'hoya ha'malach ha'orek ha'ayvim bip ni'yuson. V'hoyu Yisrael yolchum achkach l'harek ha'chitzoy ni'yuson. Kabbalah. The malach killed their pnimius, which now allowed Klal Yisrael to clean up and kill their chitzonios. The Yeshua Hoya Mad Regosoi Lirois Brekachanis, he was an exalted spiritual level. He can see through this special light of the Malach. The Hoyodea Echli Lachem Zeshamar, Yumi Hashem Yeshua Ka Kumloch, Vermichazal, Lamaloi Halachti Mohem Zeshamal Negabrachisecha. Okay, it means that he had some type of spiritual light. The light of the Berak Chanisecha, the light that was given off, was used by Yehoshua to have X-ray vision, special night goggles, special light to see where the enemy was and to seek and destroy. This concludes Pasuk Yud Aleph. Im Yirtz Hashem, on Monday, we will move forward to Pasuk Yud Beis.
Well, excuse me, by the way, the word Shemesh, according to the Gemara, and that it's one of the words that goes Zohar on the Keva.
Okay.
And bring down Sukkim in the Chumash to prove the point.
Okay. Yireyach, what about Yireyach?
Same thing.
Also,
it's one of those Zohar words that could be Zohar on
the
Keva.
Because the Gros seems to just, the Gros just as the,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
just
but
seems
that,
to say.
Words, so how would they answer it? The Radak says that it's not part of the word, that it's like Mitzrayim, but because it's Zohar on the Keva.
Okay.
That's one of the words.
Okay.
There are a few words like that. Okay.
Here, Abayisa, we are going to take a short break. Okay. And we'll be back in a minute. We'll learn some Chumash in a minute.
Good morning, Mark. You're in the car driving to Manhattan? Shake your head.
I'm now looking for parking. I dropped off my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and I'll just hang out. I'm going to learn.
All right. The traffic is crazy already, right?
Zero traffic getting here.
To Manhattan?
Yeah. Well, I got off the FDR at 96th Street.
Oh, okay.
Traffic, but there's no parking spots.
Yeah. I came home yesterday. There was traffic like a regular day. It was all backed up. Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge.
Going home, I don't know. Here now, I'm up here. We're not going home.
Should I prepare candles and wine for you?
Sure. I went shopping yesterday, and Brenda will take care of everything at the house.
Okay. Refuah Shleima and good Shabbos. Take care. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good morning, Rabbi Margolis. How are you? Shake your head. If you don't want to.
Shake your head.
Dr. Vilna, we don't see you, but we know you're there.
We know you're there. We follow you everywhere.
Right. And our Canadian in Montreal, our friend, Dr. Norman.
Norman.